Earlier, I mentioned the work of Kenny Tang. At the end of his wide-ranging recent book, he sketches four scenarios for the second half of the 21st century, varying from a golden age picture in which economic stability offers a secure background for sustaining the planet's assets, through a model in which good intentions for sustainable and ethical behaviour in respect of the environment are undermined by boom and bust cycles in the economy, a more serious model in which patterns of consumption do not basically change so that we face resource wars over our finite supplies, and finally, a nightmare scenario of a planet that has become a jigsaw of protectionist nation states, where each state both refuses to challenge its aspirations for material growth and helps to inflate commodity prices worldwide by protectionist strategies. What is most sobering about Tang's fourth model is that so much of it reads like a description of what is already happening in many quarters, and what some of the rhetoric of the wealthy world seems to take for granted. And what his analysis points up is a message that can be derived from any of the economic forecasters I have quoted. Without a stable economy, the rest is idle dreaming. And a stable economy depends on our willingness to question the imperatives of unchecked growth, which in turn is a moral and cultural matter. The energy for resistance has to come from the sort of stubborn moral and cultural commitment to humane virtue that I have been speaking about. I realise that the word virtue is hard for many to take seriously, but it's high time we reclaimed it. We have no other way of talking about the solid qualities of human behaviour that make us more than reactive and self-protective, the qualities of courage, intelligence and generous foresight, self-critical awareness and concern for balanced universal welfare, which, under other names, have been part of the vocabulary of European ethics for 2,500 years, fortitude, prudence, temperance and justice. In the Christian world, of course, they have been supplemented by and grounded in the virtues of faith, hope and love that in their full meaning are bound up with the relation of God, relation to God. But there has always been a recognition that the four pillars of ordinary human virtue were not a matter of special revelation, but the raw materials for any kind of cooperative and just society. Without courage and careful good sense, the capacity to put your own desires into perspective and the concern that all should share in what is recognised as good and life-giving, there is no stable world, no home to live in, no house to keep. I said earlier that the British Labour movement had an honourable record in its commitment to humane values, to humane relationships and intelligence and imagination. It still has today an immense capacity to bring these considerations back into public and political visibility. And the fact that this conference is addressing the question of a progressive future is significant. I would urge you then to pick up what is still alive in that legacy, to revive the passion for humane social existence, to reflect on what human character is needed for stability and justice to prevail, and to resist the barbarising and dehumanising of economic life, which jeopardises natural and human capital alike. Sermons are meant to have three points. There are mine. Revive, reflect, resist. Your history suggests it can be done, so do it.